Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. In this show, we learn about a new homestyle Indian restaurant in Billings called Mirch Masala that was opened by the Patel family about 4 months ago. We find out why they relocated from Bozeman and then discover the restaurant's offerings. Since Indian cuisine is not as well understood, I recruited the expertise of Raghavan Iyer, James Beard, and International Association of Culinary Professionals award-winning cookbook author to give us a primer. Come with me to the corner of North 19th and 3rd Avenue North into a neighborhood just outside of downtown to the building that once housed Mamacitas. We sit down in the main dining room to talk to the Patel family with daughter-in-law Delisha, daughter Dara, and mother Chef Vandala. We are enveloped in intoxicating aromas of turmeric, ginger, coriander, cumin, and so much more from food that has been set out in warming trays in preparation for lunch service. Delisha explains what Mirch Masala means.
Well, Mirch means chili, and Indian food is full of red chilies. Masala means a combination of different spices mixed together. So Mirch Masala is chilies and spices mixed together, giving you the nice aromatic flavor of curries that we produce at our restaurant.
While a buffet is available at lunch, dinners include a thali or homestyle platter. The platter is a large round tray with the concept of it being able to provide 6 flavors of sweet, salty, spicy, bitter, sour, and astringent. At Mirch Masala, the tray comes with an appetizer, a vegetable salad, curries, slow-simmered dal, rice, naan, chutneys, raita, and dessert. Do keep in mind that individual items can also be ordered off the menu. Delisha talks about Mirch Masala's buffet.
So our buffet mostly is a combination of different regions of India, and we're more into what everyday meal is at everyday homes in India, which is why it's homestyle cooking. So the buffet is a combination of North Indian dishes. We have some Western Indian, which is where we are from originally, Western Indian recipes too. And then sometimes on the special, like the chef's special, we would have occasional street food recipes and then Southern Indian recipes as well. East India, we haven't touched as much, but India is diverse in its food, and every region has its own flavor, and there's different textures and taste to everything. So we try and experiment and have a mix and match of everything in our buffet, and that's what implements in our dinner menu as well.
India is a very large country with billions of inhabitants. It is surrounded by the Indian Ocean on the south, the Arabian Sea to the southwest, and the Bay of Bengal on the southeast. Pakistan borders the west, and China, Nepal, and Bhutan to the northeast, with Bangladesh and Myanmar to the east. In all honesty, to ask anyone to summarize the food of India is being a bit unfair. But I did call my friend Raghavan Iyer in Minneapolis, author of Indian Cooking Unfolded, 660 Curries, Turmeric Trail, and most recent Smash, Mashed, Boil, and Baked. He generously provided a brief summary so we could have some grounding for this vibrant and diverse cuisine.
I say look at Indian cooking from the standpoint of regionality, because you know it's a country that's a third the size of the U.S., and so people are always flabbergasted, you know, when I take them to India on culinary tours and exposing them to the diverse regional styles, and it's like, well, we didn't realize this is Indian cooking. Even for Indians, in many ways, I mean, I've always said by virtue of being an Indian doesn't mean you know everything about Indian cooking, because there are so many regions that are so unique and different that
it's a huge Indians, country.
It is, and so that's kind of what I see. You know, look at the country and look at the region and look at the flavors and the combinations that come out of it, and I think that's, you know, gives you an idea. For instance, you go to the landlocked regions of the north, there's no access to fish and seafood. Mm-hmm. So from a standpoint of that being part of their diet, it isn't. And so it's lots of fresh vegetables. It's also the breadbasket of India. So you do find all these different kinds of breads and grains that are used extensively there. Lots of aromatic spices that define the cuisine from that region: clove, cinnamon, cardamom, peppercorns, bay leaves, you know, more perfumey type dishes, cream-based sauces, lots of mustard greens and spinach and so on. So that gives you a little feel for the flavors of the north, when you go to the south, the food cannot be any more different, more tropical, because you look at the coastal areas of India, which is surrounded by three large oceans. And so among the coastal areas, you're going to find coastal cuisine, which is ruled by lots of fresh coconut and chilies and more assertive flavors in some ways. But then seafood is a very prominent player in a lot of their cooking. And so you do find that as being stable in their diet.
Is there more of a dominant seafood in that area?
No, it just varies from waters to waters, But everything from lobster to crab to all these different saltwater fish, and also the inner tributaries, you'll find some freshwater fish, for instance. So you do find a depth of diversity in terms of fish and seafood that is consumed in the coastal areas. And so that's what you find. And then, you start to come to the middle regions of India, then you start to see combinations come into play, some from the north, some from the south, and they'll come up with their unique combinations to sort of punctuate their dishes as well. So very much controlled by what's available. This is a country to this day walks the talk of seasonality and what's locally available. We don't have mangoes 365 days a year, but we do have mangoes that come in before the monsoons and during the monsoons, and then we're done with it and we'll move on to the next fruit or vegetable or whatever it is. And so that's, I think, sort of in a nutshell what regional Indian cooking is all about.
Well, thank you for that. It certainly, I'm sure it is a lot more complicated than that. It's almost like trying to summarize what the cuisine of the United States is when you move from region to region, and season to season it changes.
Yeah, and I think, when people say, oh, are you doing Indian food? It's like saying, are you doing American food?
it's a huge question. Thank you, Raghavan Iyer, for giving us a brief lesson on Indian cuisine. We will talk more to Iyer later on in the show. But now we return to Mirch Masala, where we are with Delisha, Dara, and Chef Vandana. Delisha shares what foods they serve up in their new restaurant. She explains the foods by region.
For the northern India part, which is majority of our dinner menu, it's heavily rich-based sauces. And so things like palak paneer, paneer butter masala, and we have so-called the guardian chicken, which is not an actual chicken, but it's meatless chicken. So we have chicken tikka masala with that kind of chicken as well. And then from western India, we have aloo palak. Our chef special this month is bangan bharta, which is roasted eggplant, which is very dear and near to our western India. And then for southern India and our chef special, sometimes we have things like dosa and idlis. And then for street foods, we have our appetizer menu is mostly street food, which includes samosas and pani puri and dahi puri and that kind of stuff. So
it seems like the emphasis really is vegetarian here. Is that your emphasis here, your focus?
Yes. So we were born and raised as vegetarians, and that includes ancestral. Her great-grandmother was vegetarian, and that family tradition just continues, so on and so forth. And I would hope my son is a vegetarian too. That's what I'm hoping for. He's too little right now. But yes, we are vegetarian, and we are comfortable cooking vegetarian cuisine. Meat is something that we're not comfortable cooking just because we've never dealt with it, and we don't know if we'll get the right textures or not. So the emphasis is definitely vegetarian cuisine. And the message that we're trying to give out there is that vegetarian cuisine is not just salads and bread. There's a whole lot to vegetarian cuisines, and it can be healthy. There's a lot more flavor that you can add to it. So it just works out that way.
Well, certainly I hope that you opened the eyes of many of the palates here in this area, and we're thankful for that. Let's step back a little bit. So here you are in Billings. You've been here now 4 or 5 months. What brought you here?
We had a restaurant for 4 years in Bozeman, Montana, and we moved to Billings. So I got pregnant in 2017, and my son's due date was actually January, and he decided to come out 3 months early because I developed severe preeclampsia, and which is why I was air transported to Billings, Montana. He was in the NICU for 90 days. Within those 90 days, we just thought that Billings is just a better place for healthcare for our son and for the entire family in general, just because Bozeman did not have that many options. So just to give better healthcare, we took a one-year sabbatical from Mirch Masala, and then we found this place on 304 North 19th, and then we made it to where we like it, to our texture, and it feels like India in this little tiny place, and we're now open.
Next, we find out even more about the Patels. Let's talk to Dara first, and then with Delisha, who shares a bit about the family's history.
What did you think about moving to Billings? You had to leave Bozeman too, also.
Yeah, I had to leave Bozeman, and as a family here, we are as a family, so we decided to move to Billings for that and just run a restaurant down here.
Who is here with you here in Billings?
Well, in Billings, I have my mom, dad, my brother, my sister-in-law, and my husband, and my little nephew.
So the Patels consist of chef mom, Vandala, who is married to Navneet, with daughter Dara and her husband Vatsal, and her brother Nick, who is married to Delisha, who are the parents to baby Neil.
So you both don't work here full-time. And if you don't, what do you do? And I know your husbands are doing different things also. So can you share some of that?
So actually, all four of us kids, which includes my husband, myself, my sister-in-law, and her husband, have additional full-time jobs. And this is a family-owned and operated restaurant, and whoever is available is going to be at the restaurant to make things happen. The only three people that are at the restaurant full-time are my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, and my little son, Neil. And kudos to my in-laws who take care of the little one and yet manage the restaurant, and us kids do a tag team. So my husband is a clinical lab scientist at Billings Clinic. I am an assistant professor and director of research at Rocky Mountain College. Dara is a customer service representative at Walmart, and so is the case with her husband, Butzal. So all four of us have full-time jobs.
So you are juggling quite a few jobs and responsibilities here, and your son is doing well.
Yes, he is doing great, thanks to the family support that I have. Yes, we are juggling a lot of responsibilities.
And it looks like your father-in-law is the person that is taking care of him. Is that correct?
He's the big babysitter, for sure. Yeah. I think my son and my father-in-law are best buddies. They have to be together. Every time my son gets up in the morning, the first thing he wants is grandpa. And my grandmother, the grandmother also plays a huge role because she's the one who gives him all the love and the food, you know, the amazing food that he needs. So both of them are taking good care of him.
Let's go back even before Bozeman. Where were you and what brought you to Bozeman?
So my in-laws were born and raised in Ahmedabad, India, which is a western state called Gujarat. It's to the western part of India. And the entire family of Chef Vandana has been living in the United States for the last 30 years. And so through immigration, they came here. My husband and myself were here on a student visa, and we went to Montana State for our education, and that's how we met. Since then, we were in Bozeman, and while we were students, we always missed an Indian restaurant, you know, because there was no Indian restaurant in Bozeman at that time. And then when Mom came in 2010, we said, well, Mom, you cook such delicious food, and she loves serving people. She said, let's just make something where we have the people in Montana, especially Bozeman at that time, get exposed to Indian flavor. And so my dad, my father-in-law, Navneet, and obviously Chef Vandana decided that it would be a good idea to open up a small home-style cooking restaurant, which is not so much a business-minded idea. It was more sort of a hobby that she really liked doing. And both of them really enjoyed having people serving them. And so it started off, we got great response in Bozeman. People loved our food. And then we decided that Billings might be the next step to do it. And so we're now here.
Well, I want to know Mom's opinion. Were you happy that you would be able to share your food with many people?
Yes.
Yeah.
Since I'm talking to you, what are some of the favorite dishes that you like to cook?
Queso korma.
And why is that?
Well, that's her husband's favorite recipe. And every time it's a special event in the family, whether it be a birthday or an anniversary, Keshe Korma has to be on the menu for sure. And so she really likes cooking it. I think the people in Billings and Bozeman have really liked that curry as well. And basically it's a mixture of a rich based cashew, tomatoes, and cream, you know, simmered for hours and hours to get those flavors mixed in together with some cardamom. There is a whole bunch of other spices that goes into it. And then there is cashews that are reduced in that gravy as well. So it's just rich and it's really good with the naan. So.
Have you been able to cook a lot of these dishes here in Montana because of ingredients? Or have you been a little bit more creative, or had to be?
We have done both, actually. So initially when we started off, ingredients was the biggest issue. We then found some vendors in India who would ship stuff over here as far as spices are concerned. We also found some local, not local, by local I don't mean Montana, but local United States vendors that are able to ship stuff to us. And then there are certain dishes that are still not on the menu because of the lack of ingredients in this place. But we're doing our best to give the flavors out, and the fact that we have the right spices and the right chef who knows what to do with those spices.
Even with the right chef and the right spices, the kitchen is missing one major piece of equipment, the tandoor, a cylindrical clay or metal oven.
Eventually, we would like to have a tandoor in our kitchen too, to cook more tandoori dishes. It's just not naan, but there's a whole bunch of tandoori paneer, there's paneer tikka, there's a whole bunch of things that can happen in the tandoor. That's our long-term goal.
Come back to the second part of Flavors Under the Big Sky as we go into the kitchen of Merge Masala. Then, we will conclude the show with Raghavan Iyer as he shares a little about his boyhood and what new venture he is embarking on. The main dining room of Merge Masala is basically an L-shaped room seating up to about 36 people, with the front door opening right into the restaurant. The kitchen, the heart of this place, is kitty corner from the entrance. Here in the back is a space that is about 400 square feet. Upon walking in, there's a hood with 8 burners on the left for cooking. Then there is a good prep area on the right, with storage and a walk-in in the back. Let's go over to the stovetop and see what your mom is cooking here.
So she's cooking paneer chili, which is a dish on our appetizer. It's also a filling. I mean, we sauce it up a little more, and it's also a filling of our kati rolls and burritos, Indian style burritos that we have. And basically, this is an Indo-Chinese street food. Paneer is obviously Indian, and the flavors in there are more Chinese influenced, where we have soy sauce, sriracha, and ketchup and vinegar and that kind of stuff.
In describing what is on the stovetop, we get further input from Chef Vandala, helping Delisha explain how paneer chili is made. Paneer is the fresh farmer cheese that is made by curdling milk.
Paneer.
So you take paneer.
Chili, yogurt, coriander powder, red chili powder, all mix. Then oil.
Put everything together, and then you just let it simmer for a little while the spices incorporate in there.
So how long is a little while?
15 minutes.
About 15 to 20 minutes.
All right. And then so it's freshly done. Now, during the day when you have a buffet, how many options do you have out there?
Approximately. So we have 2 different kinds of rice, a lentil soup that's every day, and the rest 3 curries change every single day. So we come here about 7:30 in the morning, and we start cooking from scratch for the buffet, start prepping for the evening as well, and everything, all our sauces, all of our curries that's out on the buffet are made every day freshly from scratch every morning. And so there are 3 different kinds of curries on the menu in addition to the lentils and the 2 different kinds of rice. There's a salad option, there is a dessert, mango mousse most of the time, different flavors of mousses. We also have a raita, which is basically a yogurt-based Kool-Aid that helps cool your palate down if you're not used to Indian spice levels. And then we have a variety of chutneys and carrot pickle, which is another signature dish.
You did mention something about cooling down your palate. What other secrets are there for people? Because I always hear that beer is good for cooling down the palate, and I'm not sure that's necessarily the solution. What are some of your suggestions?
If you really think that the spice level is too high, just ask for a cup of yogurt, plain yogurt. And what you could do is just mix that plain yogurt with any of your curries, and that's just gonna minimize the spice level to your palate, and that's gonna help down. Worst case, just ask the waiter or waitress to cook us something that's not that spicy, and Chef Vandana, just like she likes to serve people, will cook you something mild and yet delicious.
On the note of delicious, Delisha describes some other popular dishes at Merge Masala. She talks about samosa, a type of turnover, and puri, a puffy, deep-fried flatbread.
So samosas is a basic North Indian street food, which includes spiced potatoes and a spicy puff pastry that's fried. And we serve that with a tamarind date and mint chutney. And that's like a signature recipe that has been falling on in my mother-in-law's kitchen for years. The chutney is the magic to the samosas. As far as Dahi Puri and Pani Puri is concerned, a group of women who go out shopping in India need to have Pani Puri at the end of it. So like if you're out with your friends, you need to have Pani Puri. That's how special Pani Puri is. And that's basically puffed. It's really hard to explain what puris are, but they're basically puffed little balls that are fried. And you stuff that with potatoes and chickpea filling that's spiced up, obviously. And that's you add a little bit of mint and tamarind water to it to give that hot, spicy, sweet, sour texture. And basically, the best way to eat it is just like having a shot. You need to have the entire puri filled with water in your mouth in one go. And then you get a burst of flavors in your mouth. And that's how wonderful Pani Puri is.
So you have to have the experience all at once. You can't just take little small bites. I'm glad for that advice because I think I may have been eating them incorrectly. So let's go over just a few more other dishes that you find that is most popular here with the customers. What is the most popular dish?
I think from our menu, the most popular dish is definitely saag paneer, paneer butter masala, and cashew korma. Cashew korma has to be favorite because that's like a family favorite recipe. And then the other two, I think, are just because people are used to saag paneer as far as Indian restaurant experience is concerned. The paneer butter masala is just a local favorite, I think. Those are our top selling dishes.
And what's another hint from Delisha for customers?
What advice do you give to customers who would like to come here? And how would they feel comfortable in being introduced to your food?
So as far as the spice level is concerned, we have it at the moderate level where it suits the, excuse my language here, it suits the American palate. And it's not brown man spicy, it's white man spicy, that's how I call it. So if customers would come in, we're a kid-friendly restaurant, we have people with families coming in, and they would definitely ask for curries that are not spicy, and my mother-in-law, Chef Vandana, will cook up something that's kid-friendly. So everybody is welcome. If it's your first experience having Indian cuisine, we have had several customers do that as well. They come here and ask for recommendations, and we start off with something really, really mild, but it's going to give them a combination of different spices and flavors. And then eventually when they come back, they might want to try something to the next level of spice and then so on and so forth. So all they have to do is just ask their waiter or waitress and we'll be more than happy to serve to their needs.
In my book, No Meal is Complete Without Dessert, Dara makes a mango mousse every day with changes every so often.
Aside from the mango mousse, what other desserts do you prepare and how do you decide what you're going to have as a special for that day?
Yep, so besides the mango mousse, I made the strawberry mousse and also I'm planning to do the fruit custard mousse, like the fruit custard mousse too. It's like basically the date and the fruit custard on that. And also I made the carrot cake, the gulab jamun. It's like totally different platter. Sometimes we do the kheer, it's like the rice pudding. It's totally different too. So like, and it's like every day we change that. So this is after the 1st January, because I know that this is the New Year, so I changed my mousse plan to the mango mousse, the strawberry mousse. So people tend to have a change and they can try my different variety of sweet and everything.
Well, it's a great ending once your palate is all enlivened. This kind of calms it down.
Thanks to Delisha, Dara, and Chef Vandala for talking to me. I wish the Patel family much success with their new restaurant, Mirch Masala. We now return to my phone call with Raghavan Iyer in Minneapolis. Let's find out what a homestyle meal was for him growing up.
Yeah, my roots are from the southeastern part of India, even though I grew up in the heart of Mumbai, which is Western India. But my familial roots are from the Southeast. So I grew up with steamed cakes and crepes and pancakes and dumplings and noodles. And so that to me typifies the cuisine from my mother's kitchen and my grandmother's kitchen, just giving me steamed cakes that is done with a combination of rice and a particular kind of a lentil that's ground into a batter, and the batter is fermented to get this natural sour flavors to it. And that's actually poured into these molds and steamed very simply. And it's served with different stews and dried spice blends and unrefined sesame oil and things of that nature. So to me, that's the quintessential comfort food for me.
Now, before I signed off, I know that you started a new venture called Pizza Karma that serves tandoored fire pizzas in Minnesota right now is where you're located. Share with the listeners why the name and share with us the concept that's gone into this restaurant.
Yeah, I look at the concept, I guess, first is the concept of using clay-lined ovens to cook, which is really a rustic open fire way of cooking in 80% of the world. And I had a couple of customers the other day from Shanghai, and they were ecstatic because they go, oh, we use this oven in Shanghai on the streets. We make pancakes with them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so looking at basically the style of cooking the pizzas is what defines us. And our style is now global. It's using these live fire cooking ovens that are lined. It's a little bit more like a Cadillac of these rustic ovens. But underneath it all, it's clay walls that are fired up and the breads are done in the inner walls of these ovens. And the kind of sauces and the kind of toppings I'm using are very reflective of multiple regions of India. And so the blends and the spices and the combinations and the sauces that I'm using are global flavors, and they're not Indian flavors. Yes, we have spices and stuff from the Indian subcontinent as well, but it's like saying, you know, peppercorns travel the world. Is peppercorns Indian? Yeah, it's native to India, but is it global? Absolutely.
Yes.
That's sort of what I've showcased with Pizza Karma. So it's the medium of cooking it that defines the style of the pizzas. Everybody loves pizzas. Everybody loves breads that are done, and I think that's what typifies the concept of Pizza Karma. And karma is doing good.
For me, I always believe eating pizza is doing good. Pizza Karma just opened in Prairie Eden just outside of Minneapolis. Maybe one day we will have a branch here under the big sky. With Raghavan, I find that he inspires me with his thoughts as he constantly continues to enlighten the world of food.
Culinary world, it's all about doing something new and fresh that nobody else has done, and that's what excites me. That's what excites you, I think, you know, bringing in a sense of uniqueness to a project, and I think you and I thrive on that. I think that's what makes us such dear friends over the years. And so,
Introducing people and letting them know that this world has some really delicious food that we don't want them to miss out on. Thank you for your time. Good luck with everything, and I hope our paths cross soon.
I will see you soon, Sheila. Thanks for having me.
It excites me that bold and vibrant flavors are coming to Big Sky Country. Thanks again to the Patel family and my friend Raghavan Iyer for making our lives more delicious. Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region, has been produced with the help of Ken Siebert. Theme music is by Parker Brown. Additional funding has been provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communications on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanians. Thanks to you, listeners, for your support. I'm Stella Fong.